Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, I am joined by Dr. Renee Matthews. And I gotta tell you, this Spitfire is going to blow your mind with her energy, her passion, and the lessons that she's learned as she has been dealing with asthma in her life, frankly. I mean, it was such a great show, first of all, for me personally, because I have never dealt with asthma myself. I've never known anybody personally that I have had to observe how they deal with asthma. And the more we started talking about it, I just thought about it from a fitness perspective, how limiting that could be to have to deal with asthma. And if you are dealing with asthma on a regular basis and frustrated by it and feeling limited by it, I don't think you're going to feel that way after this interview. It's just so inspiring to listen to this woman and how she is just not going to let anything stop her. And she just doesn't give up. She keeps going and going and going. And she's just amazing. Such an amazing individual. We met at a blogger event actually years ago in Chicago. And I still, there's some of those people that you meet once and they make a huge impact on you. And I remembered her, and interviewing her was even more of a pleasure than I anticipated. Just a little bit about Dr. Renee from her official bio. Dr. Renee Matthews has appeared on television shows such as The Oprah Winfrey Show, TV One's News One Now, and WGN TV's People to People, where she discussed myriad health topics. She started her media career with her own radio show on ReachMD, a medical broadcast network, for health professionals. In addition, Dr. Renee has been a featured medical correspondent on SiriusXM's Sway in the Morning and WVON, The Voice of a Nation. She earned her undergraduate degree in 1999 and her medical doctorate in 2005. She spent the early part of her medical career as an educator on cord blood for numerous hospitals and attending staff. She is an asthmatic, which drives her passion for asthma education. She addresses the concerns of asthma sufferers by supplying them with the tools and knowledge they need to receive the best medical care. I had to tell you, you're going to love this interview. And I could go on and on. Her bio is extensive. And that's because this is somebody who is not only taking care of herself and her own health issues, but becoming an advocate for others. And I know you're going to love this chat that we had with Dr. Renee. We'll definitely have her back on the show. So sit back and enjoy my talk with Dr. Renee Matthews. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa. And today on the show, we have I know this because she and I were talking before we started recording. I met her several years ago, and Renee, you can feel free to correct me, but sometimes there's certain people that you meet and you might meet them in person once, but they make such an impact on you with their energy and their passion and their enthusiasm, just the way they live life, that you never forget them. And I know for sure that Dr. Renee is one of them. I talked about her in the intro, but she and I met in person, and I just verified that when we were chatting before the show. And I just remember being so wowed by her presence and wanting to see her again and learn from her again and be inspired by her again. So I'm so pleased, for lack of a better word, so excited. I get yelled at because I use that word all the time, but I really am. I'm stoked that you're on the show, Dr. Renee, and welcome. Excited to chat with you today.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
And I know we were talking about this before, but we met, was it like 3 years ago or 2 years ago? Do you remember what
it might have been? Three. I think it was three because my day job had just ended. So this was me embarking on being an entrepreneur full time.
Yeah. Wasn't there something, this is the last thing I'll ask. Wasn't there something like Chevy was at that event and they had a lot of cars, or am I mixing up events?
That wasn't Chevy, but okay. It was something, somebody sponsored it because there was a green screen room
that
we got to go and play with.
Isn't it amazing though, too, how for everybody listening, you've heard me say this before, there's a lot of people that I've had on the show in this first year that I met what I call in the early days of social media. And I'm talking about like 2009, maybe even 2008. And it's just amazing how fast everything has changed. Like when you and I were at that event, how different everything is now, as far right. as the types of events that are held, the fact that so many bloggers and influencers, like this is their full-time living. And that's what, I mean, frankly, half the stuff I buy now is because of other bloggers and influencers that I read and learn from. So it's pretty cool. It's mm-hmm. cool to see the progression that the space has made. And obviously, again, it's just such a pleasure to reconnect with you. But that said, let's just dive in. And I told you before the show, this is always the first question I like to ask when people are on Fitfluential Radio for the first time. And that's this. When was it for you in your life that you first became interested in leading a healthier lifestyle or a fitness lifestyle? When was that for you and why?
So I think that as a child, I danced. So that was my form of exercise because I was born an asthmatic. Running and jumping and all, running was never going to be my thing. I had trouble getting to through the mile. You know how you had to do that as part of your exercise requirement in elementary school, forget middle school and high school. So I always had trouble with that because of my asthma, but dance I could do. So I danced. So I really never worried about my weight because I danced. Well, when I stopped dancing, the piles came on, not a whole lot, but a little bit. And then, of course, in college, I think I gained the freshman 15 all 5 years I was in undergrad at Michigan State.
So easy to do.
Right. As a matter of fact, I came home one break and my mother was just like, oh my God, because I wore sweats all the time, I myself didn't recognize what was going on. So I didn't know. Right.
Leave it to mom. My right. mom's the same way.
My mother's like, you know, and then I was so focused on school. I mean, I went to undergrad and then I took a year off and I still went to school, but I didn't go to med school right away. I went to med school after that year off. And so, I mean, I was always focused on school. So that was really my focus. I really wasn't worrying about health. Although I was going to be a doctor, and I always said I can't be an unhealthy doctor because I always felt like that was just oxymoronic. Like you can't do that. You know, mm-hmm. how can you be a fat doctor? That just doesn't make sense. So I was like, I got to do better. But, and we actually had spurts of trying to do better in college, but fast forward to 2010, my sister ran the Disney half in January at Disney World, but she went by herself. My sister's always been the athlete though. So that wasn't odd, but the fact that she went by herself and I felt bad. So I said, well, next year I'm going with you. They have to have a walk or something. I can walk. And so I said, I'm going to walk. Well, my stupid butt let the walk run out and sell out. So I had to do the half. And she was like, well, you have to train. I said, well, I'm not a complete idiot. I do realize I'd have to train. So I did two 5K. I did couch to 5K. And I did two 5Ks and two 10Ks. So then I did couch to 10K. And then I did couch to half. And I prepared myself to be ready for this half. I will admit, and you can read on my blog, I did not complete the half. They had pacers that no one told me about. I didn't find out about till I was on the road with them going through Disney World, and the pacers messed me up. And so I only got 8.4 miles, I think, but that at the time was the furthest I had ever been in my life.
Wow.
So, and for me to be a severe asthmatic, never used my inhaler this entire time. And I'm talking about all of my training, all of my races. I would always have my inhaler with me, but I never needed it. So that was amazing. And so that's when I was like, okay, that was okay. You know, but I still was like, I'm not really a runner. I got my little medals. I was excited about that. And then last year, within the last year, March 31st last year, I said, this is it. We got to do something. And I've lost almost 50 pounds today.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Dang. All right. So there's so many, I'm taking notes here. There's so many things that I want to follow up on, but congratulations on that.
Thank you.
I mean, I just think that weight loss, when you're not you know, we go through that life when that phase of life, right? When we're young and, you know, you gain a few pounds and you probably don't even notice it. And right. like even you said in college, you know, you were in sweats all the time and especially at Michigan. I went to Ohio State. So, you know, people that weren't going to school in the southern states, you live in your sweats.
Yeah.
You live it. So it's very easy. And it's funny that your mom is so much like mine. But then there's that adult life. And when, let's just face it, weight loss is not easy. And it's not easy whether you want to lose 10 stubborn pounds, 50 pounds, 100 pounds, 300 pounds, period. It's like, I can't stand it when I hear people saying, oh, well, you know, that person only has 8 pounds to lose. That's nothing. It is a challenge and it is work and diligence and consistency, no matter what you do. So anybody that successfully does it, that's awesome. And number two, I mean, you certainly have an additional consideration with asthma. And as you talked about this, I realized I've known a few people, not a lot. My old boss actually had asthma. One of my favorite bosses of all time had asthma, and he would always have his inhaler with him. I never saw him need to use it, but I really am completely unfamiliar with some stats on asthma. And I know that you talk a lot about this and you're dealing with it, but what is asthma? Something that I'm going to sound like a first grader, but I'm just going to do it for our audience's sake and for mine. Is asthma inherited, or is this something that is just random and you're born with it, or can it develop later in life?
So yes, yes, and yes.
Okay. So, I already forgot my first question. Wait.
So mine is definitely inherited. My mother has asthma. My grandmother's brother suffered really badly from asthma. My mother has siblings with asthma, you know, different types of asthma and different asthma related allergies and stuff. But then also they've noticed that people who live in environments where there's asbestos and there's even a special dust that comes off of roaches, that people who live in these environments have been diagnosed with asthma in life. And then there are people who went through their entire childhood and then have adult onset.
What, yeah. Is there one that is more common? I'm just curious.
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, I've met a whole lot of adults that have told me that all of a sudden they have asthma.
So for people like myself, I mean, I have a basic understanding, but for people that are listening, you know, how does, when you have asthma, what is it that you have to deal with on a day-to-day life? And then how did that affect your running and your fitness practice?
So I was on meds daily. March marks 1 year that I have not been on daily meds. So this is amazing because I was on daily meds from as far back as I recall. I would have to ask my mother when I started, but as far back as I remember in my life, I've always taken medication every day. So that was the big thing, was I had to take meds every day.
Is that common?
Very common, because you want to keep your asthma controlled. And so I had to take medication that controlled my lungs and made sure that no matter what I went through, I was okay. My allergies, a lot of them are environmental. I'm allergic to, you know, you name it outside, I'm allergic to it. But because of allergy shots as a child, I am able to get through what most people call sinus season. I don't have sinus infections. I've never had one. I used to mow the lawn as a kid because my allergy shots worked. And I was able to handle the grass. You used to live in Chicago. You know, living in Chicago, the lakefront is my best friend. I love being on the lakefront. I can be on the lakefront with freshly mowed lawn and be just fine. But that was the thing. And then the other thing is exercise induced. So if I were, you know, was to sprint or run for an extensive amount of time, I could have trouble breathing. And so that's where it would cause a problem. So, you know, I'd get on a treadmill, but I can only go so fast. And then all of a sudden I wouldn't be any good.
And I'm sorry, but this is going to be good because I know a lot of people that are listening and considering there can be adult onset. I mean, it's good to know the symptoms, you know. I haven't hung out with my former boss in person for so long, but a couple of questions about asthma again. It makes sense to me when you say exercise induced, but in other words, there can be situations that are environmental, whether it's allergies or other environmental issues that can cause someone who has asthma to essentially, a lot of us picture someone who has asthma, like almost gasping for breath and unable to breathe. Is it always that extreme when something triggers?
Not always, but sometimes. So it's usually, some people it's very gradual. Like they'll just start to, you know, have cold symptoms that turn into an asthma attack. And other times it can be immediate. So I have food allergies on top of everything else. And those did not go away. So I am still very allergic, deathly allergic to the foods I'm allergic to. So for instance, seafood, I am allergic to seafood. I cannot eat it, nor can I smell it cooking.
Really?
If I smell it cooking, I will start wheezing. And it's not like I just all of a sudden fall out. I literally can hear myself and feel my chest tightening. And I'm like, wait a minute, I'm not feeling well. And for the most part, though, because I'm, 41 years old now, I can walk in someplace and smell it and say, what are you making? And figure out what it is. Mm-hmm. But I'll say, for instance, I love my father dearly. I preface this with, but when I was home the year between Michigan State and medical school, I was home and my dad would always see, my dad's from the islands. He would always cook seafood and he would always do it right before I came home from class instead of doing it earlier in the evening so that he could air out the house. So I would come home and I'd smell it. And I'm like, Dad. And he said, you can't smell anything. I'm like, okay. So I would go to the opposite end of the house. So I'd be the opposite end of the kitchen, shut the door, because that's where the computer was anyway, in the library. And I'd get on the computer and work. And all of a sudden I called in my inner whistle. And I would call my mom from the phone in there and say, your husband's trying to kill me today. And my inner whistle is making noises. And my mother would be so mad because, of course, if I get sick and she can't control it, my mother is a respiratory therapist by training. So she would for a lot of the time, she could handle my attacks. But sometimes I had to go to the ER. She's like, we have to go to the ER. I'm going to be really mad at him. I was like, me too. So, dang. So that would be a gradual thing. And then hopefully it would go away. Now, if I eat something I shouldn't eat, it takes seconds. Like literally we might have a few minutes. If it touches my tongue and gets down my throat, really? We might have a few minutes before my throat starts closing. And that I have experienced twice that I remember. My mother could tell you about the times that I don't remember, but the times I remember it happened in Michigan State once and it happened when I lived in England once. And I literally started drooling in front of my friend. And I was like, oh God, I can't swallow. Something was in that food. I need to get a Benadryl right now. She was like, what? And I go, I can't swallow. That's why the spit's coming out my face. I could talk, but my throat was closing and I could feel things were starting to happen. So I took the Benadryl and was able to get it down and it reversed it really quickly. So those things happen pretty fast, but exercise induced, it could be you do 5 minutes on the treadmill and maybe you do, you're doing a slow pace and then you start going fast and then you can't catch your breath. So you start panting and panting and then you can't catch it. And then usually, like for me, I start coughing something terrible and I can't stop coughing no matter what I do, no matter how much water I drink, I can't stop coughing. And then next, I'm wheezing and I'm having an asthma attack.
Okay, gosh, I feel like I'm learning so much here and yet I have so many questions. So this is good. I'm trying to think of what to ask first. How does this affect sleep?
So when I was younger, I must have slept with 10 pillows and I'm not exaggerating. And actually I'm home for Easter, so I'm in my room that I grew up in. But literally pillows for days because I had to sleep almost sitting up because that was the only way I could breathe.
I actually was having this conversation with a girlfriend of mine. We were talking about men and the tendency for sleep apnea and not being able to breathe.
The sleep apnea, it's the fat rolls and it rolls if you sleep flat. It rolls over your neck and that's where your breathing is. And that's why they have trouble breathing. So sleep apnea patients should sleep sitting up too.
Pretty much everyone I know that has some form of that, even if it's not all the way sleep apnea, just elevating their head to some degree.
Helps with your breathing. It helps with your lungs, positioning of your lungs and everything. So that's why it's easier for me. It was easier for me to breathe if I was sitting closer to upright than laying flat. The funny thing is that once I went to med school, I started sleeping with no pillows. And now to this day, like people will come stay with me and I'm like, oh, you can have all the pillows. I don't need them. They're like, what? But I literally sleep flat. And it's so, because it's such the direct opposite of the way that I grew up, it's so funny to me, but I sleep completely flat and I can breathe just fine. Thank God. When I started training for the races, I went to the doctor. I have a pulmonologist in Chicago. I love him. He did a pulmonary function test. That's the same thing he does every visit to check my lung functions. And they were so improved that when I sent them to my mother, she called me. I emailed them to her. She called me and said, whose results are you sending me? I was like, mine. She goes, Renee, your lungs didn't look this good as a child. So the exercise has improved my lungs in such a way that, as I told you before, I haven't been on meds in a year. So my lungs have gotten so good that as long as I like I said, I have my inhaler with me. And usually if I'm going to run, I'll take a puff or two before I start, but then I'm fine. I walk 6 to 10 miles a day through Chicago just for exercise, and I'm fine. I don't need my inhaler, but I always have it with me just in case. But I have no problem walking through any season, winter, summer, spring, or fall. The winter used to be a horrible time for me to be outside because of the cold weather, but now I'm fine.
Okay. I just have so many, but that's the purpose of a podcast is questions and answers. So when you just said that winter was harder, why was winter harder for you?
The cold air would come into my lungs and just attack them. And I would just literally to the point that I couldn't stand at the bus stop as a kid. Someone had to drive me to the bus stop and we had to wait for the bus in the car. And then I would get out of the car and go into the bus. I could not be outside. And if I was, my mother was very good about it. You have to have the scarf over your mouth and nose. And, you know, I was a kid. Who wants to do all that? And right.
So,
you know.
So many things our parents did to us, like right. My mom making me pack tuna salad sandwiches and egg salad sandwiches, things that when you open them at the lunch table, it's like...
Real popular.
Yeah. Immediate unfriending of what that looked like back in those days. Fitfluential Radio fans, I have a gift for you. And by gift, I mean the gift that truly keeps on giving. Head on over right now to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up for our now live VIP Fitfluential membership. Our Fitfluential membership is not a diet program. It's not a workout program. You will have access to learning from some of the best trainers, dietitians, nutritionists, doctors, chiropractors, massage therapists, chefs, athletes, authors. I could go on and on and on. A lot of folks that have been on this show. What our Fitfluential membership is designed to do is meet you in the middle and provide all of the education and inspiration that you need, all of the community and the accountability that you crave, and everything else that's going to keep you from being one of those statistics in January. All those people that say, I'm going to get healthier this year. I'm going to live my best life. And then by the third week in January, the second week in February, all of those aspirations are gone. Don't let that be you. Go to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up now. Well, you were talking about, you know, just for example, you know, you've said a couple of things, that you're no longer on meds, that the exercise has improved your lungs so much that you don't, you know, you carry your inhaler as a potential preventative measure, mm-hmm. but you haven't needed it. And then I'm just curious as well, maybe I'm looping something in that shouldn't be here, but you talk about how you sleep and you used to need all these pillows to be able to get through the night and breathe correctly, but now you don't. And now you don't sleep with pillows. So I'm curious, your life is a lot different now because, mm-hmm. And compared to what it was before, you were on medication, you were very limited in your activity and so on. What was it for you? Like, when was it that you started really paying attention to your asthma? And what were the changes that you made that, I mean, you've said exercise, but I think a lot of people that have this probably think, well, I'm just going to be on meds and have the inhaler issues and have to be careful my whole life. What was it in you that changed your mindset?
I mean, I'm one of those people that doesn't take no for an answer. And so I figured that if I trained, because my sister had convinced me that, now mind you, her asthma is nothing like mine. My mother was told that if she breastfed my sister for a year instead of the 3 months she gave me, my sister would not be like me. And that is the truth. My sister can eat everything under the sun. I'm allergic to citrus fruits, chocolate, nuts, seafood, wheat, rye, barley, and eggs. So, Yeah. So my sister is fine though. She, as a matter of fact, she's a budding chef. So she eats everything. I can't, but I don't take no for an answer. And my sister had already told me about Couch to 5K and how it worked. So I figured that because it's not go run, you know, 3 miles right now, it's a gradual thing where you walk for 1 minute, run for 30 seconds, walk for 2 minutes. You know, it was a gradual thing that I worked myself up to it. And I think that's why it worked for me. Now, the other thing is most asthmatics do know that they can swim. Being in the water is wonderful. And you can get that cardio in easily without worrying about your asthma. You don't need your inhaler. You'll be fine. And I love to swim for that reason, because I always could get in the pool and I was better than everybody in the pool because I could swim my butt off. I just couldn't run on land. So really that was my thing. So I just was like, okay, I'm going to try this. And when I did couch to 5K, I saw, you know, you do it, it's a daily thing. So you saw the improvement. And I was like, oh my God, I ran for a whole 2 minutes. Oh, I ran for 3 minutes. And so I saw the improvement and I was like, okay, I can do this. And it would take shorter amount of time for me to recover. And when I say recover, I'm talking about that panting afterwards. It was taking a shorter amount of time. Whereas now, like I said, if I take my inhaler before I hit the lakefront, I usually go 6 miles on the lakefront. If I take my inhaler and puff it beforehand and I decide that I'm going to run half of the way, when I stop running and decide to walk, it will not take me not even 2 minutes and I'm back to normal and I could talk to somebody and I'm not out of breath, you know, I'm fine. And so that's what I'm really happy that I've worked up to that, but that's what it was. And literally, I think all of the changes in my lungs is why now I can sleep flat and, you know, I'm okay. And it's amazing to me because my mother, they were there one time when I was training for the race, they were visiting. And so we all went walking on the lakefront together. I was just doing the intermittent, you know, running and walking. And my mom said, she told my dad, I cannot believe that's the same person, because the girl couldn't finish the mile. Look at her running. And I would run back to them so that I could keep walking with them. And, you know, I kept going back and forth. They were like, they can't believe it. They just couldn't believe it.
Honestly, that's just freaking awesome. I don't know what else to say other than, you know, what a great attitude you had to decide that you were going to do something and then to do it so sensibly. You know, so many people, whether it's, oh, I want to lose weight, or I want to look a certain way, or whether it's financial or work related, you know, they kind of make a goal. It's very unreasonable. And then they have an unreasonable, completely just sometimes often yes. immature, stupid approach to it. And then they give up because they, you know, it's like, oh, I want to lose 10 pounds by spring break, which is 3 weeks from now. And then they say they're going to go on the cabbage soup diet or some extreme version of Atkins or whatever. And then things don't work because they've been eating nothing but, you know, like 17 cheeseburgers a day mm-hmm. for 2 weeks. And then they throw in the towel and write off anything fitness related because they had, you know, a ridiculous, myopic, immature right. mindset.
I started in June. The half wasn't until January. So I knew I'll tell you, the first 5K was on September 11th. So I started in June and the first 5K wasn't until September 11th. So all of that time I was doing couch to 5K and I was religious with it.
I have another question for you. You talked about your weight loss. Was your weight loss something that you had made a decision, I want to lose this much weight, and then you worked towards it? Or was it something that, oh, with everything I'm doing, it also came off it just happened as an aside? Or was it a combination, a little bit of both?
No, it was, I do a lot of video. I actually have a show that's in 45,000 doctor's offices across the country. If you see the little TV in the waiting room, if you pay attention to it, it's called Out of Office with Dr. Renee. Yes. And I saw a couple episodes and did not like what I saw. I taped them February and March of last year and was not happy. And I was like, oh my God, I have to do something. And I do a lot of live streaming and I'm between Periscope and Facebook Live and stuff. And I saw two chins and I wasn't feeling it. And March 4th last year, I had a photo shoot. And when he sent me the pictures, I was so not pleased. I was like, oh my God, you have to get rid of that second chin. That's horrible. This is me telling the photographer to Photoshop it out. So I was like, if you continue. And then the other thing was my back was hurting. My butt had got so big that my back was hurting just walking to the bathroom in my apartment. So I'm not even talking about walking for exercise. I'm just talking to walk a few feet. So yeah. I was like, you're only 40 and you're really in a bad way if you can't walk to the bathroom without pain. Yeah. So that's what got me. I have to lose weight. I cannot. And I'm not done yet. Maybe midway is what this is. But yeah, I'm not done yet. But I definitely knew that I had to do something. And when I tell you, I feel so much better. Like, I was like, why didn't I do this years ago? I feel so much better.
Well, you can hear it in your voice and you're just adorable. I mean, I've
Thank
been with
you.
You in person. I'm looking at your website. You're just freaking adorable. And you brought up a good point, because I think that this can also speak to something I personally, you know, different strokes for different folks, but I personally would recommend for folks that want to lose weight, that want to get healthier. I mean, pretty much there's not many people on the planet that if you said them to most adults, do you want to lose weight, that they wouldn't say yes. Most of us should and could lose some weight. You know, that's a sweeping generalization, but it is what it is. I think it's pretty amazing. You mentioned, you know, hey, you saw yourself in this video and then you saw yourself on some of your Periscope and Facebook Lives and so on. And it's amazing how we can look at ourselves a certain way in a mirror. And then if you see like somebody will take a picture of you, you're at an event and you look at it and you go, wait, what? I don't know what it is right. about photos or television, but you can see yourself. And frankly, I think it's good. That's why I think it's something I encourage. I'm curious what you think. For people to get involved, if you're pursuing a healthier lifestyle, to get involved in whatever way that looks. It doesn't mean you have to become a blogger or a YouTuber, but to get yourself out there on social, not only to connect with others for the accountability, but frankly, when you have a track record that goes back of your progress,
yep.
it can really be a good baseline measuring tool. Do you agree?
I totally agree. I love Facebook's little memories because mm-hmm. they'll pop up and I'm like, look. And my mother's like, oh my, you've come a long way.
Your mom needs to be on the show. She sounds hysterical.
She's wonderful. But yeah, I'm like, and I just, as a matter of fact, I put on this dress and went and showed her just now. And she was like, oh, excuse me. She goes, it fits perfectly and just looks so nice. I was like, thank you.
I remember when I was home for Christmas this past year and, you know, it, for me, my hormones started going out of whack many, many years ago. And then I started seeing a doctor in Phoenix. They got better. And then I had followed some really bad advice. I'm going to share that journey separately, but I followed some really bad advice of somebody who kind of proffered themselves as, you know, an expert and knew all this stuff. And really, it was just all just ridiculous. And I went the opposite direction of getting healthier. And I gained weight. My hormones went completely off the radar. And so luckily, last year, kind of about the same time with you, it was about March for me of last year that I started to see Dr. Sebring here. He's been on the show too, in Austin, and he really got my hormones back on track and I started losing weight. And I remember going home for Christmas and getting dressed. I was staying at my parents' house in Chicago and I put on a dress and just like your mom, like my, and I couldn't believe my mom said these words. She's like, well, you're looking kind of sexy. And I was like, you know, but it felt damn good. And also to compare to your mom, I remember when I, in my college years, which were a lot longer, I went to college for a long time. I kind of just liked being in college and not having a job and all of that.
Right. It was the bomb.
Yeah, it was my parents finally go, are you actually going to graduate or are you just going to keep adding majors and minors and go to pre-law school, quote unquote, for, you know, 10 more years at our expense? And I'm like, okay. But I remember before I moved home to finish college, I'd taken a Segway to live in Pensacola. And that Segway where I said to my mom, oh, I'm totally going to go to school while I'm down there. Right. I didn't. But what I did do is I went to the school of alcohol and I also went to the school of Old Country Buffet and sweet tea. And I gained so much weight that when I came home, just like you said, I didn't see it, but my mom picked me up at the airport and she's like, what the hell is going on with you? And she just was like, I don't even recognize you. So leave it to the moms to tell us what we need to hear. Right.
Yes, definitely.
I hate to say this, but girl, we are like, we just... And I say this before we started recording? I said, I always end up the first recording with somebody and I get to the end of the show and I'm like, we're just getting started. So I'm definitely going to follow up with you because I want you back on the show
to talk Sounds about great.
Several issues. And you're killing it and you're awesome. And I love your energy. And I think you taught me so much. So I know a lot of people listening that probably are dealing with asthma are going to listen to this and be so inspired to get past what they think are limitations that probably are insurmountable, but clearly you've shown that they're not. And you have I love what you have that it was such a sensible approach. It wasn't something crazy. And you're so, and to hear it in your voice, how much happier you feel, how proud you feel of what you've done. That's awesome. Because that's the other thing I want people to know from listening to our podcast is it's not just about what you achieve on the scale, or it's not just about fitting into your pair of jeans. It's how you feel and how you function and how you're living your life, right? Here's what I want to do as we close up our first show today. Tell people where they can find you if they're not in a doctor's office watching you on TV. Where can they find you online?
I am at askdrrenee.info. That's my website. Everything is linked there, but I'm Ask Dr. Renee on all social media platforms. So Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Pinterest, the whole nine.
And I'm just telling everybody, when you click on her blog and you check her out, you will see exactly what I'm saying. Because you'll hear this voice on the show, and then you're going to see her presence online. You're just adorable. I just love you. So we got to hang out when I come back to Chicago.
Definitely.
We'll be there in May. We're doing an event. So I will text you about that. But Renee, thank you so much for being on the show. It was great to reconnect with you, and I will follow up with you afterwards because we definitely want to have you back. For everybody listening, obviously we will link up to everything in the show notes on fitfluentialradio.com. If you have questions that you'd like us to pass on, I mean, obviously we encourage that you reach out to Dr. Renee on all of her channels directly, but if you have questions you'd like us to cover on asthma or potentially on other topics with Dr. Renee, you can email those to podcast@fitfluential.com. And again, we will pass that on and take that into consideration as we plan our next shows. Thank you all for listening so much. We hope that this show and others have helped you open your mind and start to think about different ways that you can find your fitness. Until next time, you guys have a great rest of the week.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.